So coming next to the stage, this gentleman and I, we just met a few weeks ago. He helped me, actually, he ran a D&D session at the Lincolnwood Public Library that my store sponsored. It was really cool. Tons of fun to see a bunch of little kids getting into this game that I didn't know anything about. It was great. I have cool stories I can tell you from that. But this gentleman is going to tell a story. He is a writer, he is a game designer. This is Will Hendmark.
So it isn't like peeling an orange. It isn't like popping a walnut. Skulls are harder than I'd imagined. How long do I have now? I'm still here, here enough to know that this is wrong. But I love my wife, and I love my kids, and I want to hold on to those memories, and for that, I need a brain. Someone is coming, hesitating, slack-jawed. I scream at him, meaning to send him words like, "Back off! Back off, fucker! This is mine! I caught this one!" But I think all I holler is noise. I'm not really there. I'm in my fingertips, scouting over the surface of this slick and bloody head. I get the jaw in one hand, the cranium in another, brace the whole thing against my chest, and I pull. Something gives, but no go. His mandible waggles like a broken toy. With the head in my hands, hair stuck to my bloody fingers, I drag him to the curb. I stomp. Something cracks beneath the flesh, and I nip at it like it's cellophane. I get my fingernails into the crack, and I pull, and a fingernail breaks. This brain, and maybe I'll remember my wife's name. So I wrote that in 2008 on a site that has since died and been buried in a graveyard behind another website that has since died. That story came from the same brain as an idea I pitched for a game when I was at White Wolf Game Studio, the company that made games like Vampire the Masquerade, which was a big hit in the 1990s. Some of you may have heard of the 1990s. If you told me in 1996, when I was a fanish devotee of White Wolf, kit-bashing imitations of their games in my bedroom, that one day I would work for that company, I would have flipped out. As it happens, when I worked for them, I flipped out anyway. I fell down a well in my own head and was stuck at the bottom of that well for about a year. It turns out the medications that I was on for bipolar disorder were so bad that Wikipedia knew better. The last game I pitched to the company was meant to put a new spin on zombies, one of the few pop monsters that hadn't yet been made into angsty anti-heroic protagonists by the studio. We were going to spin them by casting players as tragically heroic people fighting off zombiedom for as long as possible before their inevitable undeath. And I don't recall a whole lot about the pitch, honestly, because I was already pretty far down the well by then. I was staying up most nights in a panic, trying to work, and deleting most of the words that I wrote so that nobody would know what a terrible hack I was. I barely slept for, I don't know, about a year. And without really thinking about it, I was doing to myself what the CIA does to prisoners to get them to talk, except I don't know anything. And as a result, my brain wasn't really working, and I don't remember much about those days. I wasn't dead, but I wasn't exactly living. I needed a better brain. The company rejected my zombie game anyway, so we figured zombies were probably at the end of their popularity cycle. It was 2006. You guys know the thing about vampires and zombies, right? Okay, about American politics and popular undead monsters, right? Okay, so the theory goes that zombies are scary when Republicans are in office because they represent the dangerous mob of mindless consumers hungry for the destruction of the individual, the survivor, right? Meanwhile, vampires are scary because they represent Democrats as highfalutin wannabe European suavity that thirsts for the blood of the populace, sucking the life out of others for the sake of their own amoral and immoral existence. The time of Reagan was a time of zombie movies. The time of Clinton was the reign of Anne Rice and a generation of new bloodsuckers. Tonight, the dynamic doesn't seem to hold up. Zombies and vampires have been battling for popular appeal since the turn of this new century, and the battlefield fairly teems with sexy vampire and oozing shamblers. Perhaps it means something, the struggle between vampires and gilded and sordid castles, looming over the tumult of the living below, where people are just trying to survive amidst the growing throngs of brain-prizing, flesh-hungry dead. Maybe it means something that they both persist, both refuse to die, and both are here, now. Anyway, it's a good thing we didn't make my zombie game, because that didn't go anywhere. It's for the best. I wouldn't have been around to make that game for White Wolf anyway. I was let go later for missing work. It's hard for me to handle being seen by living humans when I'm at my low points. And while the company said we were a family, it felt like they had cast me out, like my family had left me for dead. And time passes weird when you're halfway dead. I couldn't run, I couldn't fight, and the monsters were getting closer. I know I tried to climb out of the grave I dug for myself, but I kept getting shovelfuls of dirt in my face. And I sort of forget the order that everything happened in after that, but I took on some freelance projects and screwed those up pretty good. My wife lost her job, the housing bubble burst, and our little place went underwater. And I hid in that house, inside my head, and wandered the streets of the internet, groaning and wailing and looking for a brain. My brain. Somewhere in there, in the internet, in backlogs of Blogger and backlogs of WordPress.com, I thought I would find some trace of me that would remind me why it was that I was doing this in the first place. Why it was I was writing, or why it was that I was on the internet, or why it was that I was breathing air. And so then in June of 2008, I wrote that little zombie piece of flash fiction, and I didn't even see the metaphor. I was deep in a haunted castle by then. I was the mad scientist and the monster. I was the brain in a jar, but I was also the jar. My brain was doused in toxic chemicals that it secreted. It felt like drowning in turpentine. And it occurred to me to light a match just to get the liquid out of my lungs. So we shot new little pills into me like bullets into my brain and put down the zombie that I was becoming. And when my limbs started working again, I started climbing. I mantled the edge of the well and I got the sun in my eyes. And today, as a result, I am a little bit pedantic about zombies. Rising from the dead does not make somebody a zombie. Come Christmas time, I'm going to hear the jokes, and that's fine. But just rising from the dead does not make somebody a zombie. Vampires aren't zombies. Eric Draven, the Crow, is not a zombie. He's a revenant. Being resurrected does not make you necessarily undead or a brain eater. Shambling doesn't make a ghoul into a zombie. The ability to sprint or pass up a brain doesn't make a zombie not a zombie. Zombies come in lots of makes and models. There are a lot of ways to live, and there are a lot of ways to be dead. George Romero's ghouls and Danny Boyle's rage monsters and Robert Kirkman's Walking Dead can swarm or sprint or stalk, but it's not their speed or their hunger or their groaning that makes them zombies. It's the rotting. Zombies don't heal. We heal. We evolve and we change, and that changes zombies because zombies are made from us. They are us, degraded down to something base and terrible, whether it's hunger or anger or hatred. They resemble the dead, but they're worse than dead. They're destructive. And when they don't heal, and when we refuse to heal, we rot until we resemble the dead, even if we're technically alive. I chose to heal. I crawled out of my grave, and the brain I found was mine. Thank you.
Thank you, Will. That was fantastic. Jeez, thank you so much for sharing that.